Suddenly glance, Durga, Saraswati, Hanuman, Kali, Shiva, Ganesh. 33 million actually, and amongst them, there's Krishna, and Vishnu. Yes, they are amongst the many gods. They're very nice, and they're amongst the many gods, and it's just up to you to choose who you like. Yes. You can choose. In fact, in the same chapter, verse 20, Krishna says, Kamaistaistai ritakyana prapajyantena devata tantam niyamam astaya prakritya niyata swaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires, they surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship which suit them in terms of their particular desires. In other words, if they desire some particular, certain thing, like money, then they worship Lakshmi, and they follow the particular method of worship for her, which is different from, if for argument's sake, you are going to worship Lord Shiva for some material benediction, or Lord Indra if you're a farmer, like Krishna's relatives, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Every year they would perform the Indra Puja, so that there is a certain procedure. You do certain things. It is not that you worship all the gods in the same ways. No, no, no. Indra you worship in one way, and Lakshmi you worship in a different way. So therefore Krishna says in that verse, chapter 7, verse 20, that these people, they choose a particular form of worship in terms of their particular desires. In other words, which particular demigod they're approaching, that particular form of worship they choose. And often, the demigods, they give the results that the worshipper is asking for quite easily. Now, don't think that if you call up the local priest, the local Swami, Unit 20 Swami, and you have one prayer, you know, some one way or another, some way, some prayer, don't think that this is going to actually achieve that. To worship those demigods is not easy. Big, big sacrifices involved. Extremely opulent. You have to know all the Sanskrit mantras. The priest has to. Can't use Hindi. No Hindi. Particularly no South African kitchen Hindi for reciting the mantras. Won't work. Demigods don't speak kitchen Hindi, South African style. No Hindi, only pure Sanskrit. And those mantras have to be chanted without any error, no mistake in the pronunciation. To give you an example, you may know this, how in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, some people performed a sacrifice in order to get the benediction of producing a person from the sacrifice who would kill Indra. So they recited the mantras, but they made one mistake. They got one syllable wrong. Syllable. So they were meant to chant, Indra, Kshatraho. That last syllable is sort of doubled. Kshatraho. Yes. And that means, Indra, Kshatraho, means the enemy of Indra. In other words, he can kill Indra. That was the idea. But they mispronounced it. They said Indra Kshatro instead of Kshatraho. So it changed the meaning. Instead of the enemy of Indra, it now means he who Indra is the enemy of. In other words, he who Indra can kill. One syllable mispronounced. Yes. So anyway, these demigods, though, if the worship is done nicely, then they can be very easily satisfied. Sometimes, if it's done very nicely. Why is that? Why are they so easily satisfied? Well, you may have heard, I will give you the example of Lord Shiva. He's very popular. He's very popular here in South Africa. Lord Shiva, his name, one name is Ashutosh. Ashutosh. Ashu or Asha means desire. Tosh means to satisfy. So Ashutosh means he very easily satisfies your desire. You pray to him, give me new car. You do it nicely, you get new car relatively easily. This is the idea, at least. So, why is he called Ashutosh, or why is he so easily satisfied? Srila Prabhupada explained that Lord Shiva, when you see pictures of him, many times you see him sitting just like this, under one banyan tree. He has his mala, his Rudraksha mala, special beads he uses. So you see him there. His eyes are closed. He's sitting cross-legged. He is in meditation, holding his beads, or maybe just sitting there in meditation. Oftentimes you see pictures of Lord Shiva like that. So who is he meditating on? He is meditating on the Supreme Lord. Sankarshan, particularly, who is a form of Krishna. So in other words, he is a great devotee. So he enjoys, and he just relishes, just meditating on Krishna in one form or another. And he becomes so absorbed, he closes his eyes, and he just goes deep into that meditation. This is Lord Shiva. And then, along comes Mrs. Naidu from Unit 13, knocking on the door. Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva. May I have a new TV, please? Colour. What's a good TV? Telefunken, is that good? Anyway, some special, must be, 50-inch screen. And, remote control, everything. So there's Lord Shiva in meditation, and here comes Mrs. Naidu. Oh, Lord Shiva. And he's absorbed in his meditation on the Lord. So he turns around, there's Mrs. Naidu from Unit 13. He thinks, oh my gosh, it's her again. So then he says, all right, look, just take it. Take a 60-inch screen. Just take it and go. And just go. So off she goes, thinking, very good, Lord Shiva. And he thinks, good riddance. And just goes back to his meditation, deep meditation on the Lord. Yes, so in many cases with the demigods it's like that. It is not that they enjoy being worshipped. Yes, here I am, big demigod, they're all worshipping me, very nice. Not really. Genuinely they are devotees. And they would rather remember the Lord and focus on the Lord and discuss about the Lord, but then all these people are running up and asking, oh, can I have some money? Can I have better health? Can you cure my headache and all? So, I don't know if I mentioned last week, if people ask me, sometimes people come and ask me, they say, Swami, I got headache and all. Get me? So I say, look, listen, folks, my recommendation is too disparate. I've gone beyond the stage of saying, just chant Hare Krishna. Of course, that's always good. But now I just tell them, look, just take two disparate. All right. That's what I do. Yeah. So anyway, generally these demigods, they're devotees. And they don't want to be distracted by all these little people with their petty little desires. So therefore, in verse 23, Lord Krishna refers to the demigod worshippers as Alpa Medasam. You know, there's one verse in the Bhagavatam. Krishna Vantusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyari Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti hi sumetasa. That means that in this age, Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear and establish the Sankirtan Yajna as the process for this Kali Yuga, and people who are sumetasa, they will follow him and take part in that Sankirtan Yajna. So Su Medasa. Medasa means intelligence. Su means very good. Just like we have, who do we have? Subhadra. I think you've all heard of her. She'll be here for the Rathayatra. So Bhadra, B Vajra means auspicious. But Subhadra means very auspicious, wonderfully auspicious. That is what she is like. So therefore that verse is saying that people who are Sumedasa, they have very good intelligence. Not just good, but they're especially intelligent. They will also take part in that Sankirtan Yajna and will worship the Lord in that way. Now here, it says, Alpa, Alpa Medhasa. What does Alpa mean? It means very small. You don't have the word in Hindi so much now, but in Bengali they still use it. When you're serving prasadam to Bengalis and they don't want so much, they just want a little, they say, Alpo, Alpo, Alpo. Just a little, just a little. So the demigod worshippers in verse 23 are called Alpamedasa, small intelligence. Unto that tupalam tesham, tabhavat yalpa medasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Then in verse 24, the verse immediately prior to the verse that we're reading today, Krishna describes the impersonalists, those who think that God is not a person. He is just a light or an energy, or maybe we are all God. Everybody is God. Everything is God. Something like that. In other words, it is an impersonal idea. You know, I often think that we are really lucky that we are not God. You know, it's taken so much to get this temple to this point. My gosh. It has taken so much. Just imagine if we had the whole rest of the universe to deal with too. Forget it. Just don't even bother. So you're really lucky that you're not God, okay? Just be his servant. So, Krishna here describes the demigod worshippers. Avyaktam vyaktam apanam manyante mam abuddhaya. Buddhi means also intelligence. Medasa means intelligence. Buddhi is another word in Sanskrit which also means intelligence. So the demigod worshippers, they were called Alpamedasa, small intelligence. The impersonalists, Krishna calls them abuddhaya. They have no intelligence. They're even worse. How's that? No brain. No brain. Yes. Thinking we're all God. We're all God, but we forgot. So if you walk out on the street and ask someone, are you God? Then generally, most people will say no. Some people, I suppose, they're a little sort of otherwise, they might say yes. But the idea, the impersonalists, often they say like this, that we are all God. Rup, you are God. Didn't you know that? You didn't know that? Ah. You are God, actually. You are, and we all are, the creators of the whole universe. We are currently, right now, at 5:45, today on Sunday, we are sustaining the whole universe. Although we're not aware of that. But we are doing it. So we are of God, but we forgot. Now we're in illusion. And we think we're not God. We think we're Mr. Such and Such from Phoenix. And that's who we are. And that we have to go to work in the factory tomorrow. That's who we think we are. So, that means that now illusion has control of us. That means that the illusion is greater than God. That can't be right. Therefore, Krishna says, they are abuddhaya. They have no brain, no intelligence. So these two categories of people, can someone just check if they're ready? These two categories of people, Krishna says here in verse 25, which we are discussing, he says, I am never manifest to the foolish, the demigod worshippers, they're small intelligence, so they're foolish, and the unintelligent, the impersonalists, who have no intelligence. For them, I'm covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not understand me. Even if Krishna walks up to them face to face and says, here I am God, right in front of you, here I am. But they'll say, no, 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 no. They cannot understand. They cannot understand. You know, there's one nice verse by Yamunacharya, one of our great acharyas, actually in the Sri Vaishnav line. He says that, my Lord, you are never recognized by these people, the non-devotees in general. Demigod worshippers, impersonalists, they're just different varieties of non-devotees. So he says, you're never recognized by the non-devotees, even if you make it obvious. You just show them clearly that you're God, but they'll never recognize. But your pure devotees, even if you try to hide the fact that you are God, but they recognize you. Yes, there's some very nice stories in that regard. When Krishna, one time Krishna went to Hastinapura to try to negotiate to avoid the battle. So Duryodhana was not impressed. He said, oh, this Krishna, he keeps coming and talking to us, telling us we must do this, we must do that, we must give the Pandavas something, but we don't want to. So he told his soldiers, just arrest Krishna. Just arrest him. We're not interested in Krishna. We'll lock him up. So the soldiers went to arrest Krishna. Krishna manifested his universal form. Something similar to what he showed Arjuna in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So when the soldiers saw that, oh, well, you know what happened to Arjuna? It's just completely overwhelming. They were just devastated. They just ran. And they came back to Duryodhana and said, watch out. Don't play around with Krishna. He's God. Look at him. So he was displaying quite obviously that fact. But Duryodhana, who was a staunch non-devotee, just stalwart non-devotee, he looked, he saw the universal form, and all his soldiers were saying, look out, you know, there, he's God, he's Vishnu. Leave him. And Duryodhana said, no, he's not Vishnu, he's not God. And he told them, I know what it is. In his last life, Krishna, his previous life, he performed great austerities, so now he has some mystical powers, and he can do this. That's all. He's not God. So, for the staunch non-devotees, even if he shows them just so obviously straight in their face, they can't get the idea. But he cannot hide himself from his devotees. And in that regard, there's also a very nice story of Sanatana Goswami one time with Lord Chaitanya. It's described in the Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Sanatana Goswami was asking Lord Chaitanya about all the different types of avatars. And he knew that Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar for this Kali Yuga. But Lord Chaitanya, he would not admit that. If anyone ever said to him, oh, you are God, he would cover his ears and run away and just tell the person, you know, you're just speaking nonsense, something like that. So Sanatana Goswami wanted to conduct the conversation in a tricky way so that he would get Lord Chaitanya to admit, all right, I'm the Yuga avatar. So they were talking about the different avatars. And Sanatana Goswami said, well, what about the Yuga avatars? Lord Chaitanya said, oh yes, very good. Sanatana Goswami said, what about the Satya Yuga avatar? Lord Chaitanya said, yes, and described the Satya Yuga avatar. Then Sanatana Goswami said, what about the Treta Yuga avatar? And Lord Chaitanya said, oh yes, very good, and talked about that avatar. And then Sanatana Goswami said, what about the Dwapara Yuga avatar? And Lord Chaitanya said, oh yes, wonderful, that was Krishna. Very nice, and he talked about him. And then Sanatana Goswami said, but I also heard that there is an avatar in Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course. And Sanatana Goswami said, I have heard that he starts the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's right. And Sanatana Goswami said, and I have heard that he appears in a golden color. And Lord Chaitanya said, just stop your intelligent questions, Sanatana. And let me tell you about the Shaktyavesh avatars, a different type of avatar. In other words, he used a famous technique in the science of argument that if you are losing in an argument, change the subject. So he changed the subject. Yes, he told him, you stop your clever questions and I'll tell you about the Shaktyavesh avatars. Okay. But the foolish and unintelligent, no, they can't understand. But the devotees, they understand. Even if Krishna is hiding himself. All right. Now, am I meant to answer some questions? I'll just quickly try and answer a couple of questions because we don't want to go too late. And we still have to have the drama. What is the significance of wearing tulsi beads? They are so pure that when you die, if you are wearing them, then the agents of the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, they're called the Yamadutas. They come to take sinful people for judgment when they die. But if you're wearing those tulsi beads, they're so pure that those Yamadutas, they cannot take you. They will not take you. Even if you ask them to take you, they will not take you. They will offer their respects and go. Yes. So like this. And of course, in the meantime, because they're so pure,